As we return to Luke chapter 2 this morning, we are coming to the second portion of the birth narrative in many ways. Last week, we saw and emphasized the normal-seeming nature of Christ's birth. Luke changed the way that he's speaking from this high-flying overview of Luke chapter 1, as we saw at various points in times. In many ways, Luke often speaks in a way that's similar to someone in our life, no doubt, who likes to text in all caps and very excited sorts of phrases. If it's you, it's fine, but the guilty can remain anonymous. But in this sense, we hear this high overviewing of what is occurring in the scriptures, of the promise of the nativity of John the Baptist and the promise of Christ and their subsequent births. And Luke, as he's moving in verses 1 through 7 to highlight the birth of Christ, is very matter of fact in the way that he describes this wonderful event that is the fulfillment of so much of the scriptures as we surveyed last week, and even the sense of his name being Jesus or Emmanuel, God with us. The normal sense of what occurred and of the wonderful way in which we hear that not only has a Savior been born unto the people of God, but also that he is very man of very man, able to save us to the uttermost, as we saw last week. Even as the Heidelberg Catechism likes to say in the answer to the first question, that we belong, body and soul, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that the birth of Christ as very man of very man causes us to be saved in the whole essence of our humanity. And yet, Luke doesn't stop there. The scriptures go further in describing the birth of Christ as the supernatural event that it was. And today we will highlight more of that in verses 8 through 20 as we see the way in which the Lord proclaims to the people this angelic proclamation of the good news that Christ has been born, and that he's been born unto Israel. Indeed, the birth of Jesus is proclaimed and explained for us in the text and for all those around as this wonderful, miraculous event that marks the culmination of all of the redemptive history which has come before and all which flows to the wonder of all involved. For as we read in verse 8 of chapter 2, that in the same day, or it says in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. That there is this beginning of this second portion of the birth narrative, which marks in many ways the message that accompanies the birth of Christ. That Luke goes on to record not only the actual event of Christ was born and he was swaddled, verse 6 and 7, and wrapped and laid in a manger, but also the interpretation of those events for all those who are involved. Namely, the way in which the message, peace with God, is proclaimed. And furthermore, scripture records for us the verification of these facts by a number of witnesses. Let's look first at the message which is attached and told to the shepherds. We see in verses 8 all the way to verse 14, the message which is proclaimed of the Lord's favor to the shepherds and to all those with whom the Lord is pleased. And that as the angelic host proclaim the Lord's favor to them, that they do so in order to interpret or provide that interpretation for the birth of Christ itself. That namely, this birth is in fulfillment of the scriptures, and that the Lord provides witnesses to verify these things for us. And yet, as we read in the sense of the witnesses that the Lord has chosen, verse 8, that there are these shepherds who are out on the night watches in the field, who are keeping watch over their flock. They, in many ways, are not involved in the everyday-to-day life of Bethlehem. These are the folks who are remaining in the fields day after day to watch over their fields. They are there at night, and they are, in many ways, apart from the society at large. And yet, the Lord sends to them this angel, verse 9, an angel of the Lord, suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. The culmination or the bottom line of the coming of the angel to the shepherds immediately brings them to this state of fear. And then indeed it would be, we could commiserate with them, somewhat shocking to be in the fields and suddenly at night that an angel of the Lord appears and that he appears before them with the glory of the Lord shining around them. And he comes and he proclaims to them good news. The good news that he proclaims them, which is that Christ has been born. But even more importantly, we begin to see the same pattern that Luke has so often recorded for us that the Lord used to bring the good news of what has occurred with Christ and with his birth. For if you recall in Luke chapter 1, verses 8 to 20, the angels instructed Zechariah of the birth of his son John, which was to occur, and of the way in which it was to occur, even with a sign, such that Zechariah would know that the Lord is God indeed. Then in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, we see the angel informs Mary of what has occurred to her with the miraculous conception of Christ. And then in Matthew chapter 1, 18 to 25, Joseph also is instructed by an angel of the things which are to occur. And so it is only fitting that the announcement of the birth of Christ is pronounced by angels to those who are to go and to verify these things as true, to testify that these things have truly occurred. And so as the angels come, they come to proclaim glad tidings to those who are around. And yet, interestingly enough, as the angel comes, the shepherds at the end of verse 9 are terribly frightened. Why are they terribly frightened? Oh, the glory of the Lord is shining around them. But also the angels typically oftentimes come as agents of destruction in the Old Testament. We can think of the angels that come to Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 19, verse 13, that they come to destroy the city. Or likewise, we could think of the angel of that comes and brings judgment upon Egypt as a culmination of the 10 plagues. Or the angel that comes and brings the judgment of the Lord upon the enemies of Israel. And yet, in this particular instance, the angels are not coming as this agent of destruction, but rather as these bearers of glad tidings, of bringing the good news that Christ has been born, that they come and they announce to them glad tidings, saying, "Do not be afraid." Verse 10. "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." What a wonderful first phrase to hear at the birth of Christ. The angels come with the glory of the Lord shining around them, and their first phrase is, "Do not be afraid." That with the coming of the Christ, that we hear the glad tidings of what the Lord has done. That the angel of the Lord comes, and as he comes and he speaks to these shepherds, that they are afraid, and yet he speaks words of comfort to them. And why? He tells them not to be afraid, "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." That the angels come bearing glad tidings, and that they come bearing glad tidings because of what has occurred at the birth of the Christ. What a wonderful hearing and preaching of this good news that as Christ has been born, there has been these glad tidings which have gone forth, and that no longer is it fear at the appearance of the angels, but rather of this being glad or rejoicing at what the Lord has done for them. Furthermore, the angels go on in describing for them what is the good news. Namely, verse 11, that today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. They are told of what it is that shall occur, that the birth of the Savior has come to pass, and that he has come, and that it is good news for them and for all the people. For them, there has been born this day a Savior. What a wonderful phrase in verse 11, "There has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." The angels come and they proclaim to them that this birth of this baby, although Luke records in very normal terms in verses 1 through 7, that in verses 8 to 20, there is a shift to this wonderful proclamation of who this child is, namely Christ the Lord. that he is the Savior that we saw last week had been promised and foretold to them, and that he has come in fulfillment to all the scriptures, such that, what is their takeaway? But do not be afraid. For instead of being afraid, good news are proclaimed to them, namely that a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, has been born for them, or for you in the personal sense of being addressed to them, that this Savior has been born, that he has come, and that the angels are proclaiming to them glad tidings. What a privilege and a joy to be those who are those first witnesses to the birth of Christ, even as the text says. Verse 11, for today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior. That on the very day in which the Christ has been born, that these shepherds are chosen by the Lord as witnesses to that glad event. And that they come and that they see and behold the risen, the birth of our Lord, and also of the fulfillment of the scriptures. That the heavenly places are full of the glory of the Lord proclaiming these things, such that they behold the glory of God and a further fulfillment and an attestation to these things, that it is truly the Lord who has spoken, showing his glory to them. Even as it highlights in verse 9, the glory of the Lord shone around them, testifying to the veracity of these things. That the Savior who has been born is truly one who has been born not according to the will of man or by natural means, but rather by the will of God. And that he has come, and he has come to fulfill the word of God. That this baby, this Jesus, is Christ the Lord. That he is not just another child, but rather he is very God of very God and very man of very man in one person. That he has come to, for a particular purpose, to save his people. Verse 11, it is glad tidings. He's come to these shepherds who are far off, and he has come to proclaim to them good news that this is Christ the Lord who has been born for them to save his people from their sins, as Matthew records in Matthew 1:21. He has come to deal with sin and to bring peace with them. For even as it goes on to say at towards the end of the same section, verse 14, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. That the angels come and proclaim not only good news and glad tidings and do not be afraid, but furthermore that this birth of Christ, the Lord, testifies to the peace that has come and has been proclaimed to them, that there is on earth this peace among men with whom he is pleased. The angels come and proclaim and sing praises to the Lord and show forth the good news that the Lord has caused them to proclaim. And yet the conclusion is that there is this peace that is now present on earth among men. And peace with whom? Peace with God. That he has come and he has sent his son to redeem his people from their sins. And furthermore, that he now causes angels to proclaim good news to those who are in the fields to go into testifying with all those with whom he is pleased. This message that is proclaimed is that which is good news for them, that they hear of the Savior who has come and who is Christ the Lord, that the birth of Christ is proclaimed to them as that one who has come to do such wonderful things, that Christ has come to be the Savior and to remove that sin and that dividing wall which was present, and also to come and to bring them to this relationship with the Lord. And yet the angels, as they proclaim these things to them, saying that it is glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased, proclaim these things to them in fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures, that they may understand what it is that the Lord has done even in their midst, that he has prepared for them this Savior who has come to bring salvation to them, to bring them to this great peace that the Lord has brought to them. And as he continues to bring this message to them, what is the conclusion for them? but namely that they should not be afraid, but rather to rejoice at the greatness of the salvation which the Lord has brought to them. That the Lord has brought indeed this Christ who has come to bring salvation for them, and furthermore to save them from their sins, and that he has brought peace with God, with those with whom he is pleased. As an aside, as we hear of the peace that is present with God that has been proclaimed to them, it's important to see that the proclamation of this good news, that there should be no longer any fear because of this one who has been born for them, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That the text is quick to note that the peace which is being proclaimed is not a universal peace, as in to every person, but rather that it is on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. That the peace which is being proclaimed is not some universal peace, which is just a goodwill peace to all people, but rather that the peace that is in view is something which is particularized to a certain group, those with whom the Lord is pleased, those for whom the Lord is that Savior who is Christ the Lord, that one for whom he has come to save his people from their sins. In this way, we can say that it is Christ who brings that peace to men. He is that one who has brought that peace and shall bring that peace. And Luke is highlighting for us that the nature of that good news and of that peace is with those with whom the Lord is pleased. And so the shepherds, as they hear this proclamation, are beholding and hearing of the salvation which the Lord has provided for those with whom he is pleased, such that there no longer is any fear for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so as the angel continues to proclaim of this glory which has been presented before them, we hear of this testimony that has been said. Furthermore, the angelic hosts showcase this praise of this glory to God in the highest, as the angels all of a sudden are surrounded by more than this one, verse 13, and suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. That the glory of the Lord shining around them, showcasing the God's glory, highlighting that which has already been stated, even as Luke will later use a similar phrase in Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 32, to describe the transfiguration when some of the disciples behold the glory of the Lord. Verse 28, some 8 days after these sayings, he took along Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different and his clothing became white and gleaming. And behold, two men were talking with him. And they were Moses and Elijah, who, appearing in glory, were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep, but when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. At Luke's use of this phrase of the glory of the Lord that is shining around them occurs in Luke chapter 9 and Luke chapter 2. And in both instances is related to the glory which belongs to the Lord, but also causes a certain sort of response in both instances to cause those to know for certain that these things come from the Lord, and also to point to what has already been said as it particularly relates to Christ. For not only in Luke chapter 9, 28 to 32, does the glory of the Lord showcase that this is the Christ, this Jesus who is Lord, but also in the Old Testament we see that it oftentimes, even as it is in Exodus chapter 16, the sense in which it is the Lord's presence among the people, that they might know that these things come truly from the Lord. Exodus chapter 16, verses 6 to 10. So Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel, at evening you will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord. For he hears your grumblings against the Lord, and what are we that you grumble against us? Moses said, this will happen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and bread to the full in the morning. For the Lord hears your grumblings, which you grumble against him. And what are we? Your grumblings are not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, say to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumblings. It came about as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the sons of Israel that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. In this particular instance, the point of what Moses and Aaron are saying to the people is that, how shall they know that these things are true? How shall they know that this is truly the Lord who has spoken and appeared to them, that he is the God who brought them out of Israel, or out of Egypt, pardon me? That it is because they behold the glory of the Lord, attesting to the Lord's presence among them, that he is affirming that these things are so. Or in Luke chapter 9, that it is the Lord who is transfigured, that he is Christ the Lord, and the glory of the Lord shines around him, showcasing that he truly is the incarnate Lord. Such that in Luke chapter 2, when we hear the angels proclaiming peace to men, and that the Lord, in whom the Lord is pleased, and that they should not fear, how may we know that these things are so? Or more importantly, how would the shepherds know that these things are so? Well, first, the Lord's glory shines around the angels, proclaiming that the Lord is present with them and testifying that these things are necessarily so. Furthermore, the angel provides for them a way to verify, or a sign, as it says, of this message which has been proclaimed in verses 15 through 18. But first, looking in verse 12, to highlight again the sign. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And angels go, in verse 15, go away. And yet, as we hear of the glory of the Lord, which is shining around them, highlighting that these things are necessarily from the Lord and that these things are true, that they behold the glory of the Lord. And here, the peace that has been proclaimed to them, that peace is from the Lord to them, and to all those with whom the Lord is pleased, such that they need not fear that the Lord has indeed sent for them this Savior who is Christ the Lord, verse 11, that he is Emmanuel, God with us, who shall save his people from their sins. What joyous news! And yet the Lord provides for them, and indeed for us, by showcasing again this verification that the message is true. Luke's a good historian. He reports the facts, and we may say just the facts, and he also provides for us evidence for various truth claims that he makes throughout. And it is that he has proclaimed or recorded for them what the angels proclaimed to them, and the angels, indeed, the Lord has provided a sign that they may know that these things are so, and Luke records for us the testimony of these witnesses, these very important first witnesses to the advent of the Christ, the shepherds. And furthermore, as Deuteronomy 19, verse 15 makes so clear, that in order for something to be established, that there must be those eyewitness accounts to accord for these things, or as it says in Deuteronomy 19, 15, a single witness shall not rise up against a man on account of any iniquity or any sin which he has committed. On the evidence of two or three witnesses, a matter shall be confirmed. And Deuteronomy 19, it's speaking, of course, of if there's sin in Israel, but the principle applies that for something to be established as a matter of fact, rather than simply subjective experience, that there must be witnesses to record that these things are so. And the Lord has provided for the verification of the birth of the Christ, and that all these things are so, by causing the shepherds to hear this wonderful proclamation and to confirm these facts for themselves, and indeed for all the people of God who have come since. For we see the shepherds make quick work of going to see if these things are so. In verse 15, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. The shepherds take the angelic messenger's proclamation as the word of God to them. that the Lord has proclaimed to them. He has done so both by means of glad tidings, by means of the angelic messengers, and by means of showcasing his glory to them such that they would see and know for certain that it is the Lord who has made this known to them. And they record that this is indeed the way that it has been received. And they respond with such enthusiasm to these things as we would no doubt anticipate and hope for those who have been told that for them, today in this city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And we shouldn't make light of their quick moving to go to Bethlehem, for they are those shepherds who are supposed to keep watch over their flock, that even the language being of those who are watching at night, and that they are instead immediately going to Bethlehem to see if these things are true. That they go to see if these things are true, for they are of such great importance. They desire to see the sign, to know for certain for themselves whether these things are true or not. And so they go and run to Bethlehem. Verse 16, so they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. We see that they come and they behold the risen Christ. Again, it was not at some later time, but rather that it was verse 11 today in the city of David that these things occur, that they come and that they are those first witnesses to the birth of the Christ, apart from Mary and Joseph, of course, that they come and that they have been told the good news that Christ has been born, and that he has been born for them to bring peace to them, that they no longer have any fear of that wrath of God descending upon them. And as they come and they see this child laying in the manger, it is that verification of what the angels proclaimed to them. We can think back to a similar time when the same thing occurred in Luke, when we heard of the way in which Zechariah heard of the birth of his son, and he doubts, and he is given a sign that he may know that these things are so. And that as it occurs, that when it comes to pass the fulfillment of what the Lord has spoken, that he prophesies and proclaims that these things are true. And furthermore, that as he prophesies that this is indeed what the Lord has done, as Zechariah says in verse 67 of Luke 1, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and to remember his holy covenant." He goes on to say more, as we heard Pastor Doug preach to us a number of weeks ago. But the point being this, that what is it that he hears when he beholds the sign that the Lord has given to him? That it is confirmation, that it is true. And he prophesies and worships and blesses the Lord for what he has accomplished. That the Lord has indeed caused these things to be. That the fulfillment of that prophecy causes him to rejoice and to lay hold of these things for true for himself. And so too with the shepherds. We see that Luke proclaims that the Lord has caused these shepherds to receive this angelic proclamation, this good news that has been proclaimed to them, and that good news being that a Savior has been born for them, that they have peace, that there no longer is any fear for those with whom the Lord is pleased. And furthermore, that these things are so, not only because the Lord has sent an angelic messenger to them, he has shown his glory to them, and furthermore, that the sign which was spoken to them in verse 12 has been fulfilled. And indeed, these matters have been established as fact by these eyewitnesses, even as Deuteronomy 19, verse 15 indicated that these things must be established as fact, not on the presence of one witness, but rather on the many, two or three witnesses. And so these shepherds have the distinct privilege of being those witnesses to Christ's birth. Verse 17, what is it that they go and do? When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. What a wonderful thing to behold the birth of the Lord, who is your Savior. And furthermore, that they go after ascertaining that these things are so, that they behold the Lord and they make known these things, presumably to Mary and Joseph in verse 17, for their mention in verse 16, and that this is what has been told to them of who this child is. In verse 18, seems they go further, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds, that the outcome of their proclaiming these things, that these angels have come and proclaimed to them good tidings of salvation, of peace, because of the birth of the Savior, who is Christ the Lord, who is Emmanuel, God with us. And that they go and make these things known to Mary and Joseph and to others. And that the outcome of these things, that all those who heard it wondered at what were the things that were being told them by the shepherds. Indeed, we see that the outcome is that those who were wondering of what it is that the Lord is doing in their midst, and wondering of what it is of what the shepherds are telling them. And yet, as we see in verses 19 to 20, that ultimately the outcome of these things to be confronted by the Lord and his glory, and of the birth of Christ our Lord, this one who brings peace with God, this one who saves his people from their sins, this Jesus, that the outcome is the praise and glory of God. Verse 19, but Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart, and the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. The shepherds rejoice at what it is that they were privileged to see and to hear and to be witnesses to, and that they glorify and praise God that these things are so. Or you could say that they respond in a very similar vein to Zacharias after the birth of his son John, that they believe, that they look, and that they say that these things are certainly so, and that they lay hold of them for themselves. Indeed, in Luke chapter 2, we hear of the birth of our Lord and the way in which our Lord was caused to dwell among us, and that he is this one who has come to take on flesh and to redeem his people from their sins, or to redeem us from our sins, that he is this one who has been born for us, a Savior, verse 11, who is Christ the Lord. And furthermore, that in this sense, that for those who look to him in faith, that there is this wonderful blessing and truth, that there is peace with God, that there is peace with God for those who believe in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord for the forgiveness of sins, for this one who is the Savior, who is Christ the Lord, such that we hear of the proclamation of that same truth among us today, of the birth of our Lord, and we're called to believe, that the word proclaims to us afresh that which we have, as those who are people of God, believe for certain that he is Christ the Lord, that he has come, but also the sense that we truly hear the proclamation that we have peace with God in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, that he came and that he was born in the city of David on that day as our Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And furthermore, that he brings peace to us, such that if we are in Christ Jesus this morning and we hear the proclamation of the angels, that we can say when we hear that there is no, do not be afraid, and rather to be those ones who rejoice, that we can say that we are not afraid because we are those who are in Christ. We are those who have heard of the proclamation of the child, that he has been born, this Jesus. And furthermore, that we have heard these things which were told, as it were, by Luke's account, causing us to hear the same thing that those who were told these things by the shepherds, such that those who wondered and rejoiced at what the shepherds proclaimed has been told in our midst again, such that for those who look by faith to Christ Jesus may enter in into the same wonder and into the same rejoicing that those who heard these things on the first day rejoiced in. What a wonderful privilege and blessing it is for the people of God to be able to do so, to enter into that same wonder and praise that these same brothers and sisters so long ago did. And yet, at the same time, we do hear of the sense in which there are those who did not believe, even as we'll be confronted throughout the rest of Luke's gospel, for those who heard these things and simply wondered. For those who simply wondered and they did not believe, or as it says in verse 19, treasure all these things as Mary did, pondering them in her heart, and that for those there is not that peace with God. And so as we are confronted by the message that there has been born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and furthermore the verification of these things by the witnesses that God has appointed and proclaimed by the scriptures to us, which the Holy Spirit attests to in our hearts, that we are those who may lay hold claim, that we may lay hold of Christ by faith, causing us to say that do not fear is true for us, that we may be those who are glad, that we may be those who glorify in Christ. And furthermore, for those who do not do so, that this true of this peace is not true for them. And furthermore, that there is that sense in which there is that fear which should necessarily be there. For it is not good news to hear, do not be afraid, if one is not already afraid at what? The coming of the wrath of God. And so as we hear in Luke chapter 2 of the birth of our Lord, we hear the good news of the proclamation of the salvation which is in Christ Jesus for all the people of God. And that we are called once more. So upon hearing these things, let us ponder them and treasure them in our hearts, even as Mary did, that we might look all the more to the greatness of our salvation, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, and that we may go forth glorifying and praising God for all that we have heard and all that has been told to us. For we have been told to not be afraid, and that we have peace with God because of what has been accomplished for us by Christ the Lord. What a wonderful birth, that it is Christ the Lord who has been born this day, as it was told to the shepherds, such that we, many days removed from thence and far away, may hear the same thing and say that truly these things are true for us, and that they are true in the sense of that we may with certainty know that the glory of the Lord was proclaimed to them, and that we may look forward to that day when Christ shall show us his glory, and that we may in this way look to the worship of God, even as we will sing in a short while in Psalm 29a. You sons of the gods, give the Lord as his right. Ascribe to the Lord both great glory and might, and unto the Lord's name its glory accord and splendor of holiness. Worship the Lord. What greater conclusion could we have but to say, as we who have this morning been presented with the glory of the Lord as proclaimed by the scriptures and the birth of our Lord, being told that no longer need we fear, no longer need we have any reservation of drawing near, but rather that the Christ is our Savior, that we belong to him body and soul, and that he has caused us to behold his glory this day in the person of Christ, and that we are going to that place where we shall behold his glory with our own eyes. What a wonderful day that will be. And as we close, let us come and to stoke our hearts with the sense that we are those who sing now as those who have been redeemed for all who are in Christ, and that we look forward to that day when we shall behold his glory. And yet in the meanwhile, we are permitted to go forth and worship and praise him just as the shepherds did that wonderful night. So many years ago. Please pray with me. Our Father, we thank you that you have permitted us to hear of great things and of great wonders which you have accomplished for your people, that you have caused us to receive a glorious salvation for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. We do thank you, Lord, that you were pleased to take on flesh and dwell among us, that you might save your people from their sins. We thank you, Lord, that you have done so, that all glory belongs unto you, our Lord. We would ask that you would be pleased this day to cause us all the more by your Spirit to lay hold of that salvation that is present in you alone. We would ask, Lord, that you would be pleased to help our unbelief where it exists. We would ask, Lord, for those among us. We think particularly of the children who have yet to make profession of faith. We would ask, Lord, that you would be pleased to cause this to be the day of salvation for them, that they too may hear, that they need not be afraid, for unto them this day in the city of David a Savior has been born, who is Christ the Lord. We ask that we hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.